We stated that you were in Iran from 61 to 69. The work was completed of the Williams companies, and
yeah,
then it was time.
Yeah, to 68.
So then that's when you came back to Tulsa.
Right.
You took up life here. Where did you live?
We first lived at the Mayo Hotel because I had written to get the children into a school mid-year here, January, and we had no idea where we'd be living. So at the time, we got them into Holland Hall. I came back here and established residence in the Mayo Hotel, and they went to school in their British uniforms, and children here didn't know what to make of them because they showed up in little red knee socks and gray flannel shorts and gray sweaters looking very proper, like little English boys. They didn't know what to do with Joe, so they elected him class president. He was enough of an anomaly, and they had a very close race for class president going, so they thought, well, the easiest thing is just to vote for the new boy. So they elected him class president.
What class?
He would have been in the fourth grade.
Okay. How long did they wear their uniforms? Not very long.
No, about 2 days. Yeah. Long enough for me to go shopping, because we came back just right that day. So I had to put them in something. We came straight back from Iran.
And Joe came back with you then at that time?
Actually, now that I think of it, he stayed in South Carolina because he was sick at the time, but he came shortly afterwards. He had a terrible flu bug. But yes, we came back to America together, and then he had a stopover at home in South Carolina.
You then eventually bought a house, of course, here.
We did, on 34th Street. We had owned one earlier on 37th, but that was small.
So then, 68, 69, are you beginning to feel, I want to get involved in my community?
Oh, that was day one. The minute I got back, I really had been living overseas for 6 years, not able to be involved in anything exciting going on in America. And a lot that was really interesting, gripping was going on here. So I read the newspaper the day I came and saw that Amos T. Hall had been elected the NAACP president. So I called him up. He was in the phone book. I called up his law office and said I'd read where he'd just been made the president. And I'd love to come be involved in Tulsa and get some advice from him on how I could help. That's how I met Don Ross and Shirley Scoggins and Billy Roundtree and Bobby Eaton and Bernard McIntyre and Judy. All of those people I started working with on voter registration.
That was a great phone call then you made to Amos T. Hall, wasn't it?
Yes, he was the best. I really liked him so much, and he did eventually introduce me to all those people. I went to work for the League of Women Voters eventually, but before that, I had worked for Nelson Rockefeller for president and found out how unpopular he was in Oklahoma. I thought, oh, he's a good moderate Republican, but he was thought of as far left here in Tulsa.
That would have been in 68.
That was 68.
Rockefeller eventually lost to Richard Nixon.
Oh, did he ever? Yes, we got one delegate from Oklahoma.
Nelson Rockefeller represented more of what you were used to, perhaps, as a Republican back east.
Yeah, totally different.
Now we're in 2012, and Oklahoma is known as very, very conservative.
Yeah.
Even at that time, it was displaying its conservative side.
Yeah, the party was becoming more to the right at that time. Little did I know. But it was, even though Henry Bellman was very moderate, the party was growing in the other direction.
Right. Did you ever meet Nelson Rockefeller?
Yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, that was just hello, goodbye. His brother was a friend of my stepfather's, and I shouldn't say I met him because we never talked.
You saw him, though.
Yeah, in New York.
That was in your family as you were growing up.
Yes, yes, because of my stepfather. He worked for Nelson Rockefeller in New York.
On Wall Street.
Yeah.
That was just kind of a no-brainer then here you're in Oklahoma to support Nelson Rockefeller.
Yeah, and it wasn't just because he was someone I'd met. Maybe the fact that my stepfather was working for him had more to do with it than I thought at the time. I just thought he seemed to be the most reasonable. And I met Richard Nixon a number of times. When you're American living in Iran, you meet all the Americans who come through. And I had met him more than once and was worried about him and thought Nelson Rockefeller was a more reasonable possibility.
What kind of a meeting did you have with Richard Nixon? Could you visit
Americans? Yeah, just at the embassy. You know, we'd go to the American embassy for a reception.
And he would speak to the groups there then?
Yeah, and he didn't give speeches, but he just talked a lot. I must say, I've been so shocked by the tapes. I never would have expected him to sound like that in private.
You're talking about the Watergate tapes is what you're talking about.
The Watergate tapes, yeah.
And for
totally shocking, because he just had some anti-communist views that he was quite explicit about, vociferous on, when he talked to all of us there at the embassy, informally. But to actually have that kind of invective against individual people.
Why was he there?
He was running for president. He was acquainting himself.
Yeah, because he had been vice president under Dwight Eisenhower.
Yes. Then Kennedy defeated Nixon. In 1960. Kennedy was assassinated in 63, and then Nixon was running for president in 68.
Right, and he may not have announced then that he was running for president in Iran, because that eventually he'd be doing that. Right?
Yeah, right. We all knew that he was going a listening tour of the world, and he did. He was very interested in foreign policy and fairly knowledgeable. People in Iran were just caught up with foreign policy and quite anti-Lyndon Johnson, quite anti what was becoming our policy to be so strongly, so heavily in Vietnam.